助けてほしいかナナミ。
心を燃やせ、限界を超えろ。
Hello and welcome to More Than Headlines, your weekly anime news podcast powered by Audio Technica, made by Australians for global citizens. I'm your extremely humble host, Brendan White, aka the Salt and Pepper Senpai, and joining me in the studio, my trusted co-host and rival, the can to my moi, Mrs. Courtney Smith. How the bloody hell are ya?
私は元気. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing really good, thank you. Yeah, the sun is shining. It is Saturday, the 3rd of May. We're into May already. It's Justin Timberlake time. The memes and the GIFs were running rampant the last couple of days, but I'm feeling good.
Yeah, I actually was vibing before the intro even started. I was mouthing, Ayumi-chan, hi, nani ga suki. That has been stuck in my head for weeks, and literally whenever there's silence, my head's just like, sing it, sing the song. And I'm like, no, I can't. But I end up doing it anyway.
I demand that you just, anytime you are having those silent moments and that sort of little jingle is running through your head, I want you to sing it, or I want you to send a random message to me with those lyrics, just so I can know exactly where you're at that point in time.
I will. Be prepared, Brendan.
I am prepared. I was not prepared, though, for the hot honey mix-up this morning before recording. So, God. Like, my little sort of, what would you call it? Like, little pre-podcast ritual, I guess you could say. I usually do like a little squirt of honey to sort of, you know, lubricate the vocal cords. Was half talking to the boys, getting them a couple of chicken necks because they always get a treat before I record, so they've got something to snack on and be distracted for. So I was sort of grabbing the bag of chicken necks. I'm like, what do you think, boys? Chicken neck sounds good. And I reached over to the honey, didn't grab the standard Manuka honey. Instead, I grabbed my hot honey bottle and just did the biggest squirt, like half paying attention still. And about 5 seconds later, I realized the trouble that I had just caused myself. And it was not a good time for a solid 10, 15 minutes, I'd say. Luckily, like we had the podcast recording delayed. It allowed me to sort of recenter myself and let the heat subside and make sure my insides were okay. But yeah, it was an interesting start to the day.
Look, at least you didn't mix it up the other way around where you accidentally ate a chicken neck and gave the boys honey.
Yeah, like they are sort of like a dehydrated chicken neck, so it would be like a bit crunchy, and like I don't mind a little crunchy snack. I wonder if it'd have like a pork crackle vibe.
Like, oh, true.
Which I'm a sucker for a good pork crackle, or like, you know, biltong and jerky and all that kind of stuff. Like any type of dried meat-based protein, like I'm in. So maybe it wouldn't have been the worst thing to happen if I ended up munging on a chicken neck. Who knows?
I mean, you can eat them as a human, right? Mm. You can eat, it's not like dog food only.
No. Have you tried dog food? Like, I know we're way out in the weeds right now with episode 47 here, but quick question. Have you ever tried dog food?
No, because when I was a kid, I dared my dad to eat one of his dog's biscuits, and he did it, and he threw up, so I'm like traumatized.
Weak sauce. I've eaten many a dog biscuit over the years.
Really?
One last quick story. Like when I was a kid, allegedly, like because I don't really remember this very much, like I was, you know, 3 or 4, I guess, and my mum would often find me hiding behind the curtains at our house with like a handful of dog biscuits, eating them like lollies or chips.
Brendan.
Yeah, had the little pal meaty bites out and was just hiding away in my secret shame behind the curtain. So
Scooby snacks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but they just mostly just taste like they're really salty for the most part, the dog biscuits. Really? Yeah.
I
think I've eaten like things that I'd prefer less to have eaten than a dog biscuit over time. Like I've had some meals or some dishes where I'm like, nah, just give me a bag of pal meaty bites instead.
Oh, okay. I'm kind of like curious to try Munchie's cat biscuits now.
Give it a go. And because they'd be only little, just a little snack.
Yeah, they are little.
Yeah. I'd like to challenge you for this.
Okay, maybe episode 100, we can do that.
Okay, that's a long way to wait. I don't know if I want to wait a whole nother year to hear you eat a tiny little cat biscuit.
I promise though, if we get to episode 100, I will eat a cat biscuit on the podcast. Yeah.
I think the 100 episodes is a pretty weak commit there. I think you could just do it like this afternoon, but...
No.
It's fine. You're just not as silly or as brazen as me, but that's okay. We can change that.
All right.
But I guess we should do what we're always here to do. And first and foremost, we can talk about the news headlines, which is presented by our friends over at Iced Tea Aesthetics, where anime meets streetwear, just like this fantastic Aki shirt that Courtney is repping right about meow. Go cop their new drops, which are frequently updating that store immediately. And while you're there, be sure to use code SakuraSociety5, that is the number 5, at checkout to save yourself some cold hard cashish on your order. But let's get into this.
You like the news?
You're goddamn right I like the news, Christian Bale.
I love the news. And our first piece of news today, Crunchyroll is celebrating anime again this year. Anime. With even more festivities and activations across the globe. Here in Australia, the celebrations include new and exclusive products and promotions at JB Hi-Fi, EB Games, Zing, and of course, the Australian Crunchyroll store.
I'd like to throw it out to you and the audience. Like, can we do like any June, any July, maybe just like any decade? Because I love these types of festivities and activations and promotions. Like, it's a good time and I do not want this to end. Maybe it's a little selfish and greedy of me, but let's like extend it. Let's keep the good times rolling. Let's get Justin Timberlake to do like, it's gonna be December or something next, so we can sort of weave it in, because that would be fantastic. But yeah, outside of the promotions and our products that Courtney mentioned, I wanted to shout out that Crunchyroll is giving you access to 20 different hit anime for the month for free. You can watch it via the streamer. There is ads, so there is sort of a way to sort of offset, I guess, the freeness of these 20 anime. But some of the anime in question you can watch at no cost yourself. Cowboy Bebop, Demon Slayer, Haikyuu, JJK, Shangri-La Frontier, Solo Leveling Season 1 only, and The Apothecary Diaries Season 1 only. So a ton of recent and legacy heavy hitters there to check out on Crunchyroll at no cost to yourself.
Yeah, some absolute bangers there. But this is actually Crunchyroll's third year doing anime. And I just think it's a fun little way to kind of celebrate anime, celebrate the fandom, and get more community involved, especially here in Australia, where we do have less of a presence in anime fandom compared to other countries. And I love that we have big Aussie retailers like JB Hi-Fi, EB Games and Zing, you know, nothing to turn your nose at. So the fact that they're getting in on the action too with all of their in-store activations makes it even more exciting.
Yeah, big high five to those big corporate blood-sucking retailers there for getting involved here with anime. Shout out to that. And I also want to say, goal! It's official. Aoashi is getting a second season. It was announced this past week that the popular soccer or football anime, depending on where you are in the world, is getting a second season. It's going to be airing in 2026 with TMS Entertainment animating it instead of Production IG.
So I feel like this is exciting news if you are exactly like a teenage boy. I watched the first season of the anime. I thought it was fine. It wasn't bad. It wasn't great. I think it's just not super up my alley in the way that Haikyuu is, I guess, in terms of characters and character development. But even though I'll be giving season 2 a miss, I can definitely respect that there are some people that are going to be very excited to hear this news.
Yeah, I am one of those some people. I wouldn't say very excited. Like, I really vibed with season 1 and I thought it was some of the better soccer/football anime that I'd seen for quite some time. And it does have a little bit of a similar vibe to Haikyuu as far as the beats and the character progression and whatnot. But then Blue Box came out a few months later and I forgot all about Aoashi and I haven't really thought about it since. But I will admit I'll be back for season 2 next year because it was enjoyable. I'm curious about the studio change up though. Production IG, love what they do. TMS, you know, do some good work as well, but I hope that doesn't mean that the animation quality does take a dip, because season 1, even though it was nowhere near as exciting as something like Blue Box, it was still really gorgeous to watch.
Yes, but something that's maybe less gorgeous. The Ugly Mug Epic Fighter anime adaptation will be airing in July 6th this year, according to announcement on the series website. The Isekai series plot is as follows. Wrongly convicted of a crime, 34-year-old Shigeru Yoshioka loses everything, including his trust in women, and withdraws from society as an unemployed recluse. One day, he stumbles upon a way to travel to another world. When a mysterious status screen appears on his computer, Shigeru sacrifices his looks to gain an overwhelming 100 trillion and 5,100 parameters. Now reborn as an absolute god, he begins his second life in another world.
What is this? Like, this is ridiculous. And, like, I like and appreciate that they lent heavily into the title of this, because he really is quite the ugly mug. Like, you watch this 30-odd second trailer they've released, and he ain't a pretty boy. Like, he is looking rough as guts. I did appreciate, though, watching Shigeru pick, roll, and flick a booger, only for it to then cause mass destruction. It really just emphasizes, I guess, how much he is an absolute god, in parentheses. Like, you can see he's big, he's strong, he's ugly. But I am very curious here, Courtney, how much fan service that we're going to get from this anime, because I saw also cheekily tucked away in a further description about the manga the following words: touching girls causes him pain and sexual acts will literally tear him apart. Just what can our ex-salesman Shigeru get in the other world in exchange for such inconveniences? That there makes me worry that it's going to just lean into crazy lewd scenarios all the time. And, you know, a bit of lewdness, a bit of fan service and some ecchi's fine, but if they just keep going to that well all episode, every episode, I'm like, eh, but this looks silly, it looks absurd, I'm gonna give it a peek.
The two things from the trailer that really are, like, ingrained in my mind, the first one is his, like, mole with a hair coming out of it on his face. Like, that close up of this, like, hairy mole was so just strange. I was like, I've never seen anything like this in anime. And then, like you pointed out, he picks out a booger and it looks like a little, like, ball of, like, poo almost. And then he, like, flicks it and it's a bomb.
Yeah.
It just, like, blows up a building. I'm like, what is happening? So while I don't normally care about isekai anime, this one not only looks hilarious from the trailer, but it has an absolutely stacked lineup with stuff from Haikyuu to the Top, Summertime Rendering, and it's being produced by Egg Firm. So I think I'm going to have to check this one out.
I hope you do, because it looks like it's going to be a good, silly, dumb time. And quickly circling back, I think that is one of the ultimate, like, ugly person tropes. Like, if, like, you know, moles can be pretty on people, but when there's hair in that mole, you know they're an ugly son of a bitch. Like, straight away, you see some hair poking out of that thing, you're like, ooh, get out of here.
Yeah, if you have a mole with a hair in it, like, you're allowed to pluck the hair.
Yeah, please do, for everyone's benefit, including your own.
Yeah, you're allowed. Unless you're, like, growing it to, like, win a competition or something, then, like, don't pluck it, obviously. Like, get that bag, sis, but...
I don't think I ever want to know about that competition.
I don't know. Like, Guinness World Record, you know?
Oh, do you want to be known as the person with the hairiest mole?
Me? Personally, no, but I'm sure there's someone out there that does.
Yeah, Segway Squad, if you are a bit of a fan of hairy moles, hit us up, because I'm curious to know what and or why.
Don't hit us up, actually.
Hit me up. Hit me up directly. Courtney's too pure to be hearing about this hairy mole discussion, but hit me up at More Than Senpai on the socials.
Oh my gosh. All right, let's talk about what we've been watching this week, because this season has not disappointed, honestly, for the most part so far. But I actually want to talk about something that I watched that was not seasonal. Colorful Stage, the movie Amiku Who Can't Sing, is the Hatsune Miku film that I got to see courtesy of Sugoi Co. Thank you guys so much for sending us tickets, and congratulations to our winners as well who won tickets on our socials. The film was good. Like, just a solid 7 out of 10 for me. I think because I don't play the game, which is what the film is based off of, I lost a lot of the references, because there were characters from the game. But obviously, other people that came to the screening, they knew and they were really excited to see these characters, or, you know, they even booed, like, a mum at some point. And I was like, I don't know what this mum has done, but okay.
Did you get in on the boo as well? Did you join the outcry?
I didn't. I was really shocked, actually. I was like, oh, okay, we'll do it. All right. And then another character walked in, they all started cheering. I was like, okay, yep, I see where we are. So the screening was really, really packed. And the people that have played the game obviously really, really loved it. And I was really kind of vibing with that energy. You know, these people obviously got the references. They had a good time. And for them, they enjoyed it a lot. I did read on Reddit in like the initial reviews of the film before I saw it that some people are like, oh, you don't have to have played the game to understand. But they are very, very wrong. You do have to have played the game to understand this movie. But like, you know, you do get all of the Vocaloid characters, which was really, really fun. Seeing them in their different sekais, their different worlds was really cool. So I'm glad that Sugoi Kō was able to bring the movie to Australia.
Yeah, it looks really pretty. And exactly what you said mirrors what I've seen out on the socials where people are like, I really enjoyed it. It was a fun time, but as not a rabid fan of Hatsune Miku or this universe, there was a lot of references that were lost on me. There was a lot of characters introduced that I had really no idea of the background or the context. So yeah, I guess for devout fans, it's going to be exceptional. And for casual or new fans, it's still going to be a fun time.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of Obey Me, the anime. So there's an Otome game called Obey Me. And it's about like the seven deadly sins shown as like ikemen, hot boys, and you romance them. And when the anime came out, it had a really low score, but I was watching it. And as a fan of the game, I loved it. I thought it was a great little addition to the world. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things where it's like, you know, if you play the game, you're going to love it. If you don't, you can probably give it a miss. If you like Hatsune Miku, you probably know enough about the game to enjoy it. So check it out. I also have been catching up on some of my other anime, Vigilantes, the My Hero Academia spinoff episode 4. We got to see the original Ingenium and his relationship with the crawler as they kind of discuss speed and how that can be helpful in a superhero setting. And their interactions are really, really cute and really wholesome. And this episode overall, I felt wasn't too heavy, which was really nice. It was a bit lighthearted compared to the last few episodes. So I'm loving it. I was saying to Brendan earlier, I think I actually like this more than My Hero.
It is a fun, enjoyable watch, and I think my biggest takeaway, I haven't watched episode 4 yet, but like the first 3 episodes, I enjoy this grittier exterior that we're getting, you know, sort of the underbelly and the anti-hero vibe. Like I typically gravitate more towards that than the clean, prim, proper you know, copy paste type of superhero that we see in a lot of other media. But I'm enjoying this sort of take on the My Hero universe because it's familiar but it's fresh. And we were sort of talking before we started recording. One of the things that I really enjoyed as well, where we get like a lot of comic and like animated and even like, you know, the Batman live action from the 60s, where we're seeing a lot of like pows and bams and sort of mixed media sort of fourth wall breaking with utilizing sort of sound in a word-based sense during these scenes. It's just, it's really fun. It's really enjoyable. It's not offensive. Like it is one of the most consistent anime that I'm watching this season, because the animation, like Bones, it feels like they've elevated their game with this. Like it feels familiar, but it also feels a little better at times than My Hero, I think, just with the grittiness and those sort of different sort of genre jumps with the wording. But yeah, I'm vibing according. It's a good time.
Yeah, I'm obsessed. I really am so glad that they did it, even though when it first came out, I was a little bit about it. But now I'm so glad I'm 100% in. Something else I'm 100% in on is To Be Hero X. Oh my God. I just watched episode 4 last night. This show just keeps like slapping me in the face with these plot twists and things. We had a buttload of reveals in episode 4, none of which I'm going to spoil, but then it ended with an absolute bang.
Yes.
And I, oh my God, I cannot get enough of this show.
Yeah, it is ascended to the top of my seasonal rankings. Like I watched episode 4 earlier in the week, and like I had Rock of the Lady's Modesty and sort of Kowloon is my 1 and 2. But yeah, To Be Hero X has jumped to the top because everything about this anime is just peak. It's top tier. Like the animation is GOAT level. Like we've said, like it's Arcane the anime from an artistic perspective. I love that they jump between 2D and 3D. The OP is a banger. The cast is fantastic. They're fleshed out. They're real. They're flawed. And I popped so hard when we saw Lin Ling shed the nice moniker in this episode and fought against God Eye for his love, Moon. That whole exchange and seeing the crowd build to it, and they're like unsure at first because like, who is this guy? This isn't nice. And they were against him and they start siding with him because they can see how pure of heart he is and how much of a good dude he is. Like, I was rooting for this guy and like cheering so hard from the couch. Like, it is so, so good, this anime. It is your number one with a bullet for me at the moment.
Yeah, the fact that, you know, when he's trying to go and save Moon, and then all of his fans like, don't go, it's a trap, don't go. And then he, you know, kind of gets rid of the nice, essentially, and he's able to run out to try and save Moon. And yeah, like you said, everyone's like, oh, who is this guy or whatever? And then they realize that he is trying to save Nice, and they realize like who he is, or save Moon and who he is. And they all start cheering for him. We see his power grow in real time. That was so good. It was such a good fight.
Yeah, it was really, really special. And I enjoyed as well, like God Eye, like I love a good antagonist that you can sort of, you don't want to say root for, but you can understand where they're coming from, because all he wants to do is show that this hero lifestyle is bullshit and it's a facade and they're actually not good people. So he's actually trying to do the right thing and I guess the wrong way, but that fight on top of that that multi-rise was so good. And I like that it's giving us this countdown to sort of the hero tournament that's coming up. And we see, yeah, Lin Ling, who is now known as the commoner, you know, the common hero that everyone can root for. He's sitting there in the top 10 now. And yeah, it's so good. My Lord.
What else have you been reading and watching though, Brendan?
Okay, so I'm going to sort of break it down a little differently than usual. I've just got some random thoughts, like high-level stuff on some things that I've been reading and watching first. Then I've got sort of two that I wanted to show a little bit more attention towards. First thing, chapter 201 of Chainsaw Man, Fujimoto, please end my misery already. I am sick of coming on here every couple of weeks and saying, why hasn't this ended? And then it drags on and does more things. Like, I know like friends of the podcast and people in our Discord sort of speaking and looking at it from a more positive lens, but I am so ready for this to finish. And I have no idea when the ending's coming. It feels like this could drag for another 50 chapters, and that makes me very angry.
I'm glad I'm not reading it.
Yeah, something else that I'm reading, the latest episode of Dandadan, chapter 192, dropped this week. And all I want to say is I cannot believe that they're back. I'm going to leave that very ominous and very broad brush there. Chapter 149 of The Fragrant Flower Blooms with Dignity. This continues to be one of the best written manga around, bar none, but also makes me crave a lot of cake, especially this last chapter. It is so good. I love this, and it's one of my favorite pieces of media that I'm consuming anywhere, anytime at the moment. And last one, chapter 173 of The Spark in Your Eyes. This love tension between Erkin and Hildegard is gonna be the death of me, Courtney. My goodness.
Wholesome.
Okay, from a high-level viewing perspective, I just wanted to say I'm sorry, Duffo, but The Brilliant Healer's New Life in the Shadows just ain't that good. That was the fantasy wreck that he sent my way last week. Watched the first three episodes. It's fine, but it is very copy-paste, middle-of-the-road fantasy that we get every other season. But I appreciate the recommendation regardless. And I want to also shout out Philia from The Two Perfect Saint. She's one of my favorite characters of the season. She's giving me major Violet Evergarden vibes, and I'm here for it.
Okay, okay. Love, love, love.
Okay, two deeper dives. Witch Watch continues to be one of my most anticipated weekly cops. Episode 4, I watched that this morning with my cup of coffee, and I was constantly cackling. I'm loving that we're getting this expansion of the dynamic now. We're seeing Kanshi the Tengu joining the team, and he's sort of come on board as another bodyguard for Nico, who is still one of the best characters of the spring season. I love this girl. I would die for this girl. She is so fantastic and so funny and so wholesome and so silly. But I also want to shout out Brelly the Umbrella, the sentient umbrella that was brought to life courtesy of the Animatey spell. But this is great tier sometimes amaze, because it is just so well written, so well paced. It's got one of the best looking openings of the season. And also the song by Yosobi is just phenomenal. But I love that we get so many nods and homages in this opening to all these other great anime IP. And in this one as well, we get like a ton of Demon Slayer references in episode four, because Kanshi's dad hates ogres based off the fact that he's like a manga fan and Demon Slayer is like his Bible, and it just sort of has this negative spin and interpretation towards ogres. Like, it's so dumb, but it is so funny. I love it.
That's so funny. I need to watch episode four. I'm going to do that after we record. But yeah, everything about Witch Watch, I just love. Like, it's so bright and colorful and pretty, and Nico is so funny. I will never not love Nico, I think.
It's so good. And she casts because she's trying to get Can and Moi to become friends, because obviously they're polar opposites. And so she casts a spell on a box of Pocky, and like the first person to eat the Pocky then becomes like a good friend and like adores the other person. So she tries to make the two boys eat the Pocky so they can become friends. But it almost becomes like this pseudo boy love situation in the episode two. It is so good, and I know you're gonna love it.
Oh my God, I'm so excited to watch.
Yeah, and also I wanted to reference as well, Windbreaker. I know we're only four episodes into this second season, but I'm feeling already that season two is running rings around season one for me. Like, the power of friendship and fighting has truly never felt better, Courtney. I'm really, 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 really enjoying the more human side of this season, especially when it comes to the development of Sakura. We're seeing him sort of learn to trust and believe in the people around him, and sort of contrasting the fourth episode with those opening scenes from season one, episode one, where it was sort of that black and white, really minimalistic animation where he's sort of walking across the tightrope and you know, he's alone and isolated in life. So seeing those scenes contrasted to where he is now, like, it really hit home for me, especially when he says this line when he's having a flashback in that sort of black and white memory again, where he goes, "My body feels light. I can breathe so easily. I didn't know there was a place like this. I like it here. I want to stay here." That fucked me up. That got me really good. I got so emotional with that, and it smashed me in the feels. But I also wanted to shout out to Tsubaki, our drag queen king of Furine that we meet at the back end of episode four. Finally, we see her in the opening and in fleeting moments in the OP, but we finally get introduced to her slash him here. And a great character, a great addition. This is really sitting in the great to amazed tier for me, because yeah, it's just a good, good time.
I really have to agree with you about the comparison of season one and season two of Windbreaker, because season one came out and I just, like, it was fine, but I couldn't really get into it. Like, it was quite slow. Like, the animation was gorgeous and the fight scenes were really, really pretty, but story-wise there wasn't enough to really grab my interest. And so when season two was coming out, I was hesitant almost to dive in, because I thought, you know, I don't want it to be another season one situation where I just can't focus because it's so boring, because all it is fighting. But there's been so much storytelling and it's been so, so nice, and seeing Sakura soften up in the newest episode was such a highlight for me. Like, him finally, like, letting down those walls, and the boys, you know, helping to break those walls that he, like, physically couldn't get down himself was really, really beautiful. And that final scene where they're all in the cafe together and talking and laughing and joking, and I was like, I love this. I wish this was season one.
It's so good. I loved, yeah, those final scenes in the cafe where they're all having omelette rice and confessing their sort of nerdums and insecurities and stuff like that, and just sort of humanizing all themselves, even though they, you know, all they're known for at the moment is, you know, fighting and keeping the town safe. But it's so good. And even though we don't see him in this episode, in episode three, I'm really enjoying getting to know Kaiji a lot more this season as well. He's quickly become one of my favorites. Like, Suo is still probably right up there, but I think Kaiji is like a 1B. Like, he's just a little angsty dude with his headphones on and his lollipops, and there's a lot of Sakura in him as well. So I'm enjoying those two sort of befriend each other and learn from one another as well. But yeah, it is so good, man.
So, so wholesome. Mm. But let's talk about Kalen Generic Romance episode four, our recap and review of this mind fuck of a series.
Yes, let's do it. So yeah, episode 4, before we jump in, I wanted to shout out the track for the opening, which is Summertime Ghost by Wednesday Campanella. It is one of the most addictive toe tappers of the season. That's grabbed me more than anything in the last probably 12. Like, I'm listening to this song on repeat. It is a fun time. It is a good bop. It's on the playlist. Check it out on the Sounds of Sakura Society playlist as well. It's in the show notes. You can add that to your little Spotify rotation, which has a lot of fantastic openings and endings. But yeah, episode 4 of Kaolin Generic Romance, it leans heavily both into the romance and the mystery, which I think is sort of the melting pot of this anime at its core. We start with a flashback. We see Kudo's first day at the real estate agency. Reiko welcomes him in, but it's just the two of them in this moment, and they have this really telling conversation about Kowloon. She explains that it was demolished once before and that they somehow illegally rebuilt Kowloon. It's one of the real the first times that the show really draws a clear parallel between Reiko and the city itself, and it really sort of intrigued me. Like, I like that, yeah, both are beautiful yet slightly broken relics when we're talking about the city and Reiko. So I like that there's sort of this contrast and commonality between both her and the city that they're residing in. And then Reiko, clearly drunk at this point in time, pulls Kudo in for a kiss and he kisses her back. It's messy, but it says a lot about their connection and how complicated their relationship was back then.
And then we go into the opening, and then the next scene is back in the present. We see our Reiko waking up at Kudo's apartment after passing out on the rooftop. And there's this very quiet, intimate moment where Kudo offers to tell her about the Reiko he knew, Reiko B, but she refuses. And he hands her a spare key to his place, which feels even more significant, you know, considering all the things they've been through. Meanwhile, Gwen and Hebinuma are wandering around Kowloon, and Gwen warns Hebinuma to not walk around Kowloon by himself because he might come across the other Gwen, who he thinks is going to hit on Hebinuma, which is really funny. But it suddenly becomes a little bit darker and sinister because Gwen realizes that the stray cat shelter that he built outside of the goldfish tea house is missing, and products that, you know, were released 3 years ago are being advertised as new, and Reiko's beauty mark is in the same spot. So current Reiko's beauty mark is in the same spot as it was for Reiko B, something that Hebinuma points out shouldn't happen because she's a clone. And it's clear by now that not only is Reiko a clone, but this isn't the real Kowloon.
So much mystery and intrigue, Courtney. But that clone theory gets backed up even more when Yame mentions rumors about the generic Terra and Zirconians, which are not clones exactly, but definitely something that has been engineered. And all throughout this, there are these similar emotional beats, like where Reiko refuses to move out of her apartment because she wants to keep it exactly the same, almost like a memorial for her past self or for Reiko B. It's very heartbreaking, really emotional, but it really highlights how much this story is also about memory and loss, not just science fiction.
And it all comes together at Shaohei's housewarming party. Kudo and Reiko go off to have a cigarette together. Kudo leans in and it looks like he's about to kiss Reiko, but instead he just blows smoke in her face.
What a fucker.
It's just yuck, right? It just says, you know, everything about how twisted that his feelings have become. And, you know, she's like looking forward to it, but he does something just mean to her. And later on, walking home, Kudo says something's definitely wrong with Kowloon this summer. And it's almost like he's finally admitting to how broken everything feels and this sense of eeriness that's been looming over all of the characters this whole time. And then we kind of get this final chilling sequence. One of the old men that they play Mahjong with disappears after his clone steps into Kowloon, confirming that the originals are being replaced. And then we get a gut punch reveal and we find out that Reiko B is not only dead, but the person responsible for that is Kudo. And it's brutal and it recontextualizes everything we thought we knew about him.
Yeah, that was a jaw drop moment for me. Like, I did not expect it to go in that direction. And it took me a second to sort of really pause and take stock and actually assess what the hell they just showed to us on the screen there. But yeah, episode four, it's really starting to turn up the tension between the romance, the science fiction twists and turns, and just that growing sense of unease. Like, it's very clear now that Kowloon is much more than just a love story. It's about memory, it's about regret, and what happens when you try to recreate something that's already been lost. So yeah, episode four was super strong. Yeah, it's certainly continuing to walk down a more darker, serious path. Like, a lot of the parts in the earlier episodes up until now did have a bit of lightheartedness to it and a little bit of fun, where the tonal shift isn't jarring, but you can certainly, at least for me, it's feeling more heavier and more emotional. And I'm enjoying the change.
I do want to kind of go back to the call out you made of the Zirconians as this kind of like the clones that are being produced as part of the Generic Terror Project. And, you know, there's a scene where Yao Mei is talking to Reiko and she's like, you know, this research that Generic Terror are doing, they are similar to the gem. Like, the reason they're being called Zirconians is like the gem, which is supposed to be an artificial diamond. So we're seeing these like themes of, you know, not only artificial life, but like there's still value in that, right? Like, just because someone is a clone in this world doesn't mean that they don't matter. And Yao Mei even says that. She's like, I'm someone who's had so much plastic surgery, I've had so much work done, but I still matter. And that's what's important. And Reiko, you should be thinking the same thing, right? Like, and Reiko says, I want to be my absolute self. I don't want to be bogged down by someone else's memory. Like, she is still a person. But then it does call into question, you know, what does that mean for the relationships that Reiko B had with the people that she knows now?
It's so good. It's really enjoying and engaging storytelling for me. Like, I am just so hooked on all this intrigue and the plot twists and the reveals. Like, I sort of said right from the rip in episode one that I wasn't the biggest Kudo fan, and I feel a lot more confident and comfortable in those feelings at the moment, with obviously finding out that yes, he's killed somebody. But that cigarette smoke thing, like, if someone was to do that to me, I'd want to immediately just headbutt them or smack them in the face really hard, because it is one of the dirtiest, nastiest, rudest things you can do. But yeah, Kowloon, Generic Romance, it is still firmly in my top three. I'm really enjoying it this season. I can't wait to see where the story goes.
Yes, you're vindicated after Kudo's little confession this episode. Yeah. So congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, what a butt. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what happens next. But Courtney, let's quickly jump into this.
We have a review.
Okay, and this review comes via way of Apple Podcast from user Skipperzon, who is an Australian-based listener of said podcast. And the review reads as follows. Headline, the best anime podcast? No, seriously. And the body of the review is, I'm so happy I discovered you in the podcast charts. You quickly became my favorite podcast and a must listen anytime there is a new episode of More Than Hentai. More of those, please. And More Than Headlines. Brendan and Courtney bring great energy and insight into all things anime and do it in a way that is fun, but also easy to understand. A++.
Thank you so much, Skipperzon. It's reviews like this that mean the world to us, keep us going. Even when we're having like a bad day or a bad week, we read these reviews and it really, you know, helps us to keep working hard to bring you guys anime news and anime reviews.
Hell yeah. And yeah, no amount of hot honey is going to slow me from doing my job when we get reviews like this. So yeah, we appreciate you, Skipperzon, and everyone else out there that is showing some love on the podcast platforms and on the socials and everywhere else you can find us. It means the goddamn world to us. But Courtney, final comments and thoughts.
Yes, final comments. First of all, my God, this season is turning out to be way more stacked than I thought it was going to be. And I'm so happy, like, where it's peak. Honestly, but also tomorrow I'm very excited because I'm going to the Sea Life Aquarium in Sydney to see the Animal Crossing collab that they're doing.
I wonder how much people are going to get screwed over by Tom Nook at this thing. You know he is going to be hustling you. You'd be like, oh, I'd like to buy a bottle of water. Yeah, that's $1,000. And if you don't give it to me in this instant, it's going to be $1,500. Like, he is a little criminal. I love me some Animal Crossing, but I trust that little bugger as far as I can throw him.
Look, not going to lie, the tickets were like $50 each. So already I've been a little bit extorted, but the promise of seeing life-size Isabel at the aquarium is really helping me push through and helping my wallet recover emotionally, which Hell is really yeah. nice.
I can't wait to see what you get up to there, because I know very little about this collab, but it sounds fun. I really enjoyed my time with New Horizons. I built a hell of an island. Haven't been back, so it's probably full of weeds and all my villages are probably left long ago, but it's a good old time.
Yes, and what about you? What are you getting up to?
Okay, well, I wanted to mention that y'all will be treated to another new episode of More Than Hentai this week. So Skipper's on, you're welcome. You said more of that. We are delivering because we're here for the people. And myself and Nigel from the Cozy Magic Club sat down and talked all things Apothecary Diaries this past week. I wanted to give you a friendly FYI that I've changed up the format, so I hope you enjoy the new episode and the new structure as much as I did recording with my boy Nigel. It's a really fun listen, talking about one of my favorite new anime of the last couple of years, and it should be out probably mid this week.
And a huge shout out to Cozy Magic Club as well. If you, like me, love Magic the Gathering, enjoy playing it, enjoy slinging some spells and cards with your mates, go give them a listen. They have a show on YouTube. They obviously have their podcast as well. Highly encourage you to go and give them a like and a little subscribe too. But also thank you to our producers, Orny, Duffo and Matthew C. Your support helps us keep going. If you're interested in supporting us as well, we do have our Patreon, which will be linked in the show notes. We do have a free tier and then 3 paid tiers, all of which have their own little benefits. So you can get in on that too.
Mm-hmm. Patreon.com/Sakura Society, or if you can get some merchandise over at sakurasociety.co/shop. But find us on them socials and be sure to rate, view, subscribe this podcast and all the other podcasts you listen to on the regular. Those ratings and reviews take no time, cost no money, and mean the world to content creators like ourselves, because it helps keep those emotional lights on in our hearts, helps keep us pushing forward, helps keep us making content for y'all out there. Hit us up on them socials for the Sakura Society as well, which is the Sakura SOC, preferably on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. We are churning out a ton of video content there. So yeah, those subs, likes, and comments are much, much appreciated. But whether your anime be subbed, dubbed, or still yet to come, enjoy yourself and much love to all the gorgeous waifus and husbandos out there. Goodbye.
Mata ne.